Welcome, everybody, and welcome back to your daily edition of the Trick Podcast of Joy here with my ghost of Bella on this beautiful rainy morning here in Southern California. I love the rain. Slows us down. Yes, traffic can be a nightmare, but it's nice to have some change in the weather. Talking to you today about my love affair with music. I think that as I age and as I begin to maybe look back at my life and also look forward at what I still want to accomplish in life, as I turn 50 next year, halfway through to 100, music always comes to the forefront. I think of all the young people in my life in their 20s, and I can see in them what I also had and still have at this stage of my life, in that passion. I also, of course, see in my own son, who's also a musician, a very similar drive and love for music. And so music has always been a part of my life. But at the same time, I feel that if you get lost, I feel like it's easy to get lost doing so many things. And if you do lose who you really are, then maybe it's time to get back to that. And so for me, I've wondered, and I often wonder, what role music still has to play in my life here, let's say in 2019 and beyond. And I share this with you in case you also have a passion for, maybe not for music, but for something that could be artistic, or it might be something practical that maybe was a part of your youth, was a part of your, maybe your 20s, your childhood even. And now it doesn't play a major role in your life, but perhaps you need to find out more about that and discover what that means, what you should do with those instincts. Maybe you are doing something with those artistic passions, but it hasn't been as successful as you expected. It's not what you can make money or have an income from. And so you have to do 10, 15 things. And so you're wondering, how much should I pursue this? To what extent? To what end? And I think that my big idea is that we need to be true to who we really are. That especially, as I said, as we age, you might be in your 30s, 40s, 50s, or beyond, that the only thing that matters in life is to be true to who you are, to be true to the gifts and talents that God has given you, to be true to the masterpiece, as Ephesians 2 says, that you are. And so how do we do that? Those are some of the things that I want to talk about. So first, I want to just tell you where my passion for music began. My love for music began early, maybe when I was 4 or 5 years old, when my father bought me a guitar, and I immediately fell in love with the sound and the feel of the guitar, of the instrument. I also fell in love pretty quickly with the voice, with this built-in, natural, mysterious instrument that we all have called our voice, or our vocal cords. And so my father recorded records. He sang every Sunday pretty much in church. He traveled with his group throughout the country and really throughout Central America, I believe, for a few years, promoting his record called The Troubadours of the King. The Troubadours of the King, Los Trovadores del Rey, singing old traditional hymns translated into Spanish in four-part harmony. Not quite barbershop, but it might resemble that. My father was the first tenor, and from his picture on the record that I still have on my piano to the sound of his voice, he changed my life. He impacted me greatly by teaching me guitar and most of all by singing everywhere he went. And then after that, I had two brothers that were twins the Araika twins. So I shout out to my friends back in Nicaragua, the Araika twins, who to this day still love music and play. They were the first musicians that I saw that were playing music at a high level. We were all maybe in fourth, fifth grade. We were just kids underneath the almond tree back home outside of our church. And they would bring their guitars and play. And they had lots of fans, girls, boys, me, around them every Sunday. And I would just watch and learn. And I would probably, I don't remember this part, but I guess I would go home and practice what I saw and try to do what they were doing. And then the rest really is history. I've been playing music ever since, and my love for both singing, writing, composing goes all the way to today, where now I am, ironically, for the last few years, I haven't been using any live instruments. I now use mostly computers to make beats. And you can, of course, check out my beats at davidtrigg.com/beats, davidtrigg.com/beats. I've been getting into hip hop and trap music and dubstep and Travis Scott and all of those very, very beautiful beats that are being made just with a computer and a keyboard. Amazing stuff. But my love for music remains, and the guitar will always be my first love, as well as singing. And then professionally, speaking about, talking more about finances and I guess, yeah, that part of things. Really, my music has always made a way for me to make a living and to provide for my family and to make a name for myself, I guess. Not in any sort of Grammys or awards, but more in the local church. And I did have, and I still have moments, dreams. I still have dreams of making it big, and guys like John Mayer and way back Eddie Van Halen and Dave Matthews Band, all these amazing musicians, vocal singers, singer-songwriters, guitar players have always been my idols and people that I've admired. I admire their music, their talent, their songwriting, their stage presence, the performing aspect, the skill, of course. Especially if you think of John Mayer, well, all three of those guys, even Los Lonely Boys and countless guitar players that I've always loved to see, Prince, Michael Jackson, Madonna, those obviously are more just singers, pop singers. I mean, Prince being a genius, Bruno Mars, and then of course hip hop, Eminem and Dre, and now Travis Scott, Drake, these amazing artists that have really shaped my life. And then of course, as I mentioned, my Nicaraguan roots, the acoustic guitar, and maybe even some marimbas and some of that folk music that I grew up with. All of that makes up who I am now, as well as 20 years of worship music, from Maranatha to Shouts of the Lord, early hill songs, to now all of the modern stuff that is like Planet Shakers and Urban Praise, I think they're called. A ton of amazing music. Really, I think that Christian music went through a really bad spell there for a while, but now it is as good as ever. I think that music right now, it's in its golden era. Some people may think that rap is horrible, or that mumble rap, if you're into that, is not good enough, but I think the opposite. I think that there's never been a time where there's so much music and such amazing music, Christian or not. And then I think, of course, with the advent of the internet and Spotify and YouTube, you have a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, literally a producer named 16-year-old that are making hits just week after week, month after month, sometimes hour after hour. I was just watching an interview, speaking of motivation, with Scott Storch, who made all the hits for Dr. Dre, The Roots, Fat Joe, and a million other people, Lauryn Hill, and my goodness. I'm not super familiar with Scott Storch, but you just think of that iconic piano lead on Still Dre. Blah, 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 blah. You know that part? You can check that out. Wow, that was his original composition. And just watching this guy about my age with the shades and the cool kind of vibe and his probably, what, $500,000 Rolex on his wrist, talking about music in the 80s and 90s all the way to this day, and people maybe often misinterpreting him or accusing him of being 10 years too late with Dre, because he left apparently the Roots and then didn't really, I guess, work with Dre until, quote, 10 years too late. But hey, rest is history, right? But when I see especially guys my age and their success, it makes me grieve. It makes me jealous. I wish I was him. It makes me reflect on where has my success been in terms of music? What could have I done? What could I still do? You know, it makes you reflect on a lot of things. And maybe as a Enneagram 3 type achiever doer, I'm always competing against others. It's just how I'm made. And so when I see somebody else's success, I don't just say, oh, good for him. I say, well, why haven't I done the same thing? I'm very, very competitive. And so I begin to think about my music. I've recorded a CD. You can check that out in iTunes. David Trigg. It's called How Do You Feel? I love that. I recorded it with some friends from SC, where I worked for a few years, and recorded it here at my house with some professional gear and just amazing stuff. And of course, since then, I've written countless songs, maybe 50 more songs, and I haven't recorded them. They are nowhere to be found. Maybe they're here and there, little tidbits, but for the most part, they're still just in a binder in my garage somewhere. And so I sometimes regret, wonder, I still have that push to see what can I do with my music. So I get these urges to get the band back together and bring back my friends. And now that my beautiful son plays drums and I have amazing friends, I play bass now. It's hard to believe, but now I'm on bass most of the time. I mostly have played guitar. I have amazing friends that can play piano, electric guitar, etc. I get these urges to record another record and maybe even include some of my current beats that, as I said, are more hip-hop trap kind of stuff. And so the quest continues. The passion is there. I find myself professionally not playing a lot of music in the church. I am now a lead pastor. For the last 5 years, I've mostly been preaching and leading and teaching, and which I love. And when I experience trouble in the church, when I feel maybe that I'm not succeeding at it as I wish I was, when I have to be patient with the process, all of these things that a lead CEO, pastor, whatever, you know, goes through. If you're a professional person, you know what I'm talking about. All of us as humans deal with this, and whatever we lead, whenever that's not popping, as the kids say today, then of course I think, man, maybe I missed the boat. Maybe I should have stayed with music and pursued it and be like this guy and have won Grammys. And then, of course, you think, well, am I really that talented? And all of that stuff kind of sets in. Now, with regards to leaving music as a career, music in the church, and moving to lead pastoring over the last, I would say, maybe more like 10 years, really, it's, I think, when this began for me. I don't regret that. I, in fact, feel like I should have been a lead pastor 30 years ago in my 20s. And that's really how I feel, that I've always had those gifts, those talents, that drive to do more than, quote, just play music, even though I know that that's maybe my top gift is to play music. But I am convinced that equally, maybe a 1A, 1B giftedness is to preach, to lead, to shape a community, to thrive in the local church as the leader, as a person who shapes a community. And sure, I've gone through a lot of growing pains, made a ton of mistakes, had a lot of great things, success. But sometimes, yeah, like the Egyptians, or I mean Israel, sometimes I wonder, should I go back to Egypt and go back to music exclusively and forget all this lead pastoring stuff? And the answer is always no, both from within and from God. And I've thought about it 100 times, and 100 times, 101 times, God has said, no way, Jose, this is what you are created to do, and to do music as well, to do both, which is what I'm doing now, which is a joy and a dream come true. And I think it's just a matter of time before my lead pastoring becomes a success like everything else that I've done in life. just a matter of time. You got to just trust, persevere, as my beautiful son says. Never give up. Never give up and pray at all times and just keep trusting God. But the drive for music is there. And, you know, even before maybe what, I think it was 3-4 years ago, just recently before my current assignment, I had an opportunity to go back to music and to do music maybe for the next 20 years of my life. And the pay was good, the church was great, and the friendships, the people, wonderful, close to my house, all the bells and whistles that you could want as a musician. Being at this place in many ways was a dream job, a dream setup. But from day one, I knew, and I know to this day, even though even the lead pastor of that church told me that I was wrong and that he was right for leaving, that I was wrong for leaving, I knew from day one that I arrived that I wasn't going to stay. I had my eyes and my mind set on my true calling, which has been to be a lead pastor. And so those moments come, those moments of testing come, and I've experienced them. And of course, when I see my church shrinking in size or going through struggles and all the things that I've been through the last 10 years, as I said, sure, I sometimes wonder. But I am convinced that my true calling is to do both, is to be a lead pastor who sings, not a worship leader who likes to teach. It's about priorities. And it's about knowing myself and knowing my gifting and knowing my true calling. Even though, in terms of preaching and leading, I've been second-guessed a lot by a lot of people. But guess what? So was I in music. And my wife always reminds me that I didn't succeed in music right away. It took me years, maybe 3-5 years, to succeed as a musician in the church. And even to the last, I don't know, year or two doing music, I still had people that second-guessed me, that hated me, that resisted me, that criticized me. I had a whole group of people at this one place that were out to get me, basically. I've had the church's or the pastor's assistant be out to get me, out to fire me, get rid of me. I've had people in leadership. I've had pastors. I've always had the support of the lead pastors, which has always been a confirmation from God. But music hasn't been easy, and nothing, I guess, that really lasts or that matters is easy. And as the book, The War of Art, is that what it's called, or The Art of War? No, The War of Art, to play on the original book. As that book says, resistance is the art. Resistance is the point of art. And so even though I naively have thought that music, that I never experienced resistance in music, my wife will surely tell me that that's not the case. And I can tell you, not only did I face resistance, external resistance, but also internal resistance. When I felt like a failure, I would cry every Sunday after leading worship. I would go in the back and cry and just quit. And I remember I had mentors who would say, "This is your calling. Keep going, son." I was 23, 24, a young man. And so it took me years of hard work, school, education, training, practice, mistakes, success, to really become I don't want to say successful, but a man who impacted others through music. My money, I never made millions of dollars, of course. I mean, I worked at churches, so it's not about that. And nor do I really want that. What I really want is success. What I want is, as an Enneagram 3, is to succeed personally and then to see whatever I touched turn to gold. That really is my gifting and my true me. The essence of who I am in Christ as a follower of Jesus before the Lord, that is what I want, and that's how He made me. And I know that in terms of lead pastoring, that will happen. And all the moves that I've made to go from A to B to C, all the things that I've said no to, all the opportunities that I've had that haven't been the right things, all of that points to success. I know that in time, God will bring me the external and internal success that I know is meant for me and for mostly for the people that I lead. And speaking of things that you say no to, I mentioned the one church, but in these last 10 years, I've had two or three amazing, let's just call it well-paying opportunities that I've said no to. So this isn't, and it never can be, about money. I remember this one pastor friend of mine who wine and dined us. Church in San Diego, thriving church of 800, on the verge of 2,000. And he wanted me to be his right-hand guy and maybe eventually take over his position. He actually left that church about 3 years ago. So maybe I could be the lead pastor. And you know what? Sure, that would have been a great, great opportunity. If I had known, or if he had said to me that his plan was to leave and leave me the church, we would have moved. But that wasn't in his mind at the time. I think he wasn't ready. He wasn't sure. And so we said no, and God has led us to do exactly what he wanted us to do, to be at the place, at the times and the place that we're at now. And we are convinced 100% that that is the will of God. But saying no to things is important. You have to sometimes say no. I would say perseverance is very important in terms of pursuing your dreams. Whatever, for me, music or the church, but whatever your dream is, if it's something artistic or writing or speaking or being a fitness trainer or being a student, whatever your pursuit is, maybe someone online, kind of a YouTuber, you have to persevere. And I think that the whole idea or the pursuit of success, especially money or that kind of stuff, can be misleading if it's not there. I think that too many times when that success isn't there in the first 2 years, then a lot of people quit. And I speak from experience. In my current situation, you know, after 2 years, not seeing the success that I expected, of course I want to quit half the time. But I think it's almost like you have to retrain your mind to think beyond that 2 years, because I think that social media or maybe your own instincts or what you see other people do can get in the way, where really things take years, 3, 5, 10, 20 years. Nothing happens overnight. Even though when I go to YouTube and I see these 14-year-olds who now are working with, I don't know, with Chance the Rapper or The Future, all these huge stars, I think, wow, like, how come I'm not him? Why didn't I have that kind of access at 14? You know, I was living in a one bedroom, worrying for my life if I was going to be sent back to my war-torn country because of my legal status. I mean, that was my reality at 14. There were no IMAX and internet and Ableton Live and none of that stuff. There was no YouTube. And so my studio was my guitar, my lab or my stage was the church, and my contacts or my connections, my networking events were Tuesday night Bible study, and my car was the bus, and I didn't have gangs or any of that, but I had, as I said, all this immigration stuff. So we did what we could with the opportunities that were given to us, and I'm thankful for what I've done with my life musically as well as in the church. Those two things really are my passion. Of course, Jesus, my wife, our kids, I mean, that's the foundation to everything. But as far as the production, a man's pursuit of his dream, I am living my dream. And I know that I will succeed. I will survive. But there's more. There's more for me to do musically, preaching, leading, writing books. This podcast, I love it. I used to stress over numbers and how many downloads. Now, it's not about that. I realize that it's about me just expressing and encouraging you. We have about, I don't know, 2,000 downloads since I started this podcast, but almost 3,000, about 2,700 downloads in the span of about 7 years. So, you know, it's been a long time since I've been doing this podcast, about 30 to 60 downloads per episode. So we're small, but I know that if you're listening to this, that this is changing your life. And I'm thankful for that. It all matters. And most of all, my perspective has changed drastically. And so I share all this to encourage you, to encourage myself, to wonder what is that dream that you have for 2019, especially when it comes to your art, to your creativity. For me, I have two or three things that I can't wait to do. One of them is I put together a studio at my church this last year, and it really hasn't been used. I mean, I've been in there maybe twice this whole year. I'm looking forward to using that space to create music, to train, maybe work with other people to record my second record. I'm also looking forward to writing a lot more and to probably to speak, to do more counseling, not so much in my office, but more what they call synchronicity workshops, where you invite a group of people, maybe 5, 10, whatever, to experience a live therapy session. I'm not a therapist, as you know, but to experience just the advice that people seem to enjoy me giving. And so to do something like that along those lines this next year, to just walk people through issues of loneliness, happiness, success, all these things that I talk about here. Mental health, the church, faith, all the real deal that people really face, regardless of going to church or not, or if they're really committed or not. You know, it's to me, as I said previously, the gap between people that go to church all the time or that have been to church their whole lives, and the pain in their lives is widening. It's huge. And I want to do something about that to all ages, from young people in their teens and 20s to the rest of us. We need to begin this conversation in the church. So those are my pursuits. My obstacles is, my church, it's going through a lot and it takes all of my time, but I have to keep trusting God, trusting my church to God, and continuing my pursuits, balancing the two. It's a balancing act. It's not easy. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's never easy to balance life and traffic and your artistic pursuits and being a mom, a father, a parent, a grandma, whatever. But that's what we do. If you're a younger person, you are balancing 3 or 4 jobs, school, education, bills, your parents, your boyfriend, all of those things of work, career, and self-analysis and self-awareness and the law of attraction, the secret, all of these things that young people are trying to figure out, and what's my purpose, and Instagram, and all the rest. So I get it, and we're on this same journey. We're on the journey together, and I want us to create together, because for the creative, the joy for him or her is to create, but also is to be admired, to have the music touch your soul. And so if we create and nobody listens, then what's the point? And so we need to be friends. We need to unite. We need to connect as humans once again and get rid of all this horrible online and CNN and MSNBC and Fox hate and violence and Trump and the Democrats and the shootings and all of the race stuff and all of the negativity that we have been sold and we have bought into, and to rediscover our humanity, our love for each other, that we are humans, that we need each other. There is no magic bullet out there. There is no savior of the world except Jesus. There is nothing in this world that's going to save you and make you feel happy. Not drinking, not smoking, not weeds, not more sex, not another man, not another woman, not buying a new pair of shoes, not a new job. Nothing is going to help you fulfill your destiny but love. Love for Jesus, love for each other, humility and forgiveness and passion, and really being in tune with who you are, to stop living in your head so much, speaking from experience, and to actually grab a stone or put your feet in the water. Right here in SoCal, it's raining. Just go outside and let the rain fall on your face, and not just domesticate yourself or hide so much from each other or just bury yourself in an iPhone screen. To actually experience pain, experience life, go to the hospital and visit a friend. I went to the hospital the other day, and that's real. You know, that's real. We all need to experience the pain of another and to carry each other's burdens, as Galatians 5 says, and therefore fulfill the will of God. That is the will of God, is that we carry each other's burdens. How can I carry your burden? How can you carry mine? How can we collectively let God and Jesus and His Spirit carry all of our collective burdens? How can we come together regardless of you're a Catholic and I'm a this and you're a that and I'm... Forget all that. We don't have time to fight over what kind of version of your Bible you read, or what color of carpet, or what YouTube video you watch and you don't watch. We need to come together around love and forgiveness and oneness around the one true God and His true Son, Jesus Christ, and loving Him and loving each other, so that we can help the elderly, the orphans, the kids, the immigrant, the refugee, the person who is alone, who may seem all well, they're white and all that privilege and blah, 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 and yet inside they are committing suicide. They are experiencing an emotional earthquake, facing anxiety, depression, loneliness. facing loneliness in their marriage, facing aging parents that they don't know what to do with, all of the reality of life. That's what the artist thinks about, isn't it? That's what we as artists dream about, and that's why we need each other. The accountant and the artist, we need each other. And so a few things that I have, if you want to talk to me personally, you can go to my counseling page, davidtrigg.com/, I believe it's shop. Yes, shop. And then I invite you to some of these new adventures, some of these new vehicles that I have coming next year. The one synchronicity workshop is called Why Am I Not Happy? Why Am I Not Happy? You can sign up for that. It's going to be here at my church in Bellflower. So if you're local, you can go to davidtrigg.com/happiness and sign up for that. It's free. It's January 29th, coming up in 4 or 5 weeks, or I guess a little more than that, 2 months. And then as far as the production seminars, I don't have any dates for that yet, but I'm thinking I'm going to do that on Sunday evenings, maybe from 5 to 7 at my church as well, in my studio, to learn GarageBand, Pro Tools, Ableton Live, writing music, beats, mostly beat making, which is what I've been into, as well as probably singing and some of those techniques. So if you want to sign up for any of those services, you can go to davidtrigg.com/shop, or just go to my webpage, davidtrigg.com. I'm not on Facebook anymore, Instagram. I've thankfully quit. No Snapchat, no Twitter. I'm mostly on this podcast and on YouTube. Mostly my beats are on there, so you can check that out. Thanks so much, guys. Make sure you share this episode with 1,000 friends, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.